You're listening to the Business Artist Podcast. My name is Jan Melhoz. Today our guest is Jonas Myron. Jonas is a Grammy-winning songwriter. He's currently one of the hottest songwriters in LA, and I'm sure he's going to be for the next time as well. He's a musician, he's a singer, and he's just releasing his new album in the beginning of next year, or in the next year, which I'm really looking forward to, and I'm really happy to have him today as a guest. Hi, Jonas.
Hi, Jan. So good to be here on your podcast in LA.
In LA.
At Atlas House.
In your house. It's a wonderful house. It shows what kind of artist you are. We have a view to the Hollywood sign in your garden, kind of.
I know. It's kind of crazy, right? I still get blown away like in the morning. I'm like, oh, there's Hollywood. Because the Hollywood sign is literally out of my bedroom. It's literally right there when I wake up. So it's funny.
What do you feel when you see that, and it's like a surreal thing? In my garden is a Hollywood sign. How do you feel about this?
I mean, it's a little cliche to wake up to some days, because I'm like, is this like Hollywood thing? That obviously Hollywood is a place of a lot of broken dreams as well. So Hollywood doesn't only represent success, or Hollywood is also has this other side to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it reminds me that I think that this is where I'm supposed to be this season, and it reminds me of like I'm in the middle of Hollywood. I'm like at the center of it, but I don't need to be of it just because I'm in it.
Yes, I get you. And I know you for quite some time. We met in Germany.
We did.
You've been a very young singer-songwriter there.
Yeah.
And we were releasing your first album there.
Yeah.
Although you already wrote with like a famous artist as a songwriter, but as an artist, it was kind of your start.
It was.
And you've been like a newcomer. Now you're very established, but then you already had the same charisma around you. You were already an artist, which doesn't happen very often, who asks people questions about themselves. You still do that now?
Yeah.
It's not very often. Often if you meet artists, they talk a lot about themselves, which is also interesting, of course, because they create amazing stuff, and you can talk about your creations, but you also always ask people about their story. You did it then, and you did it do it now. And that's special. Why are you so interested in other people?
I think I'm just really curious. Like, I've always been like that. Even since I was a kid, my mom reminded me, she goes, like, I would sit, like, asking questions to her friends about their life. You know, like my mom's friends. I would be like, so what are you going through? What are you thinking about? Or I would always have lunch with my teachers, for example. And I know back at school, the kids were like, they would bully me for it. Like, oh, you're sucking up to the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
You want better grades. But literally, I didn't even think like that. I was just interested in people, and I thought like adults are way more interesting than kids. So when I was a kid, I was always asking questions. I was always so curious, and I think in my job, I actually remember the first time we met. We sat in a boardroom.
Yes, I remember.
In Cologne, and you were head of marketing for EMI Records, which was one of the biggest label groups in Germany back then, before EMI closed. And I remember meeting you first time, because you were so authentic at that little there was zero music industry BS about you. You were even then very authentic, and you are today, and I'm glad that we are still friends. It's amazing, actually.
Me too.
I remember we did like a round table. I can't remember the question I asked, but I think it was something like, maybe you remember. Was it something? Tell me about something about yourself.
Exactly. Like even in the meeting, you asked me, what's your story? Yes.
And I saw Uli, our friend. He was, I think he was a little taken back by it, because there was supposed to be an artist meeting. And I was like, but I really wanted to actually genuinely get to know you guys, because I felt like if we're going to be working together for the next, you know, campaign and this album, I want to know the people I'm going to be working with.
Mm-hmm.
I want to feel like we can build something for the future. And obviously it worked, because we've all gone different ways, And you're in my house today, as a friend, and you've been here with your family as well.
Yes.
You were here and I'm actually seeing Uli Mukke for dinner next week, who used to also work with me, Jan, at the...
Yeah, he was a chief marketing officer or something at this time, and head of music.
Head of music, and then became the president, and now...
Yeah. He has his own label, I think.
Yeah, right? For RTL now, so I'm seeing him next week.
Amazing.
Germany in LA. All my Germany life is coming here. It's amazing. Of Wilson and Yula.
Yeah. Also, the album actually wasn't that successful.
Well, the album never got released.
Not even released.
No.
So because the first single wasn't really successful enough for the company?
No.
Or was it because EMI was sold at that time?
EMI
was sold, right.
Closed.
Yes.
So the first single actually ended up selling over 100,000.
Oh, the single was successful.
Yes, the single was one of the big hits of the year. But what happened was that EMI ended up folding. It got bought up by Universal.
Mm-hmm.
So the week... I mean, this is a crazy story, thinking about it now. Like, in hindsight, goodness what I went through. The week before, we had that album release party.
Yes, I've been there as well. I already left EMI, but
you
I
had
to
left
the party.
EMI, but you came to the party.
Yes, yes.
I don't know if I told you this, but the week before that party, Eric, who was my Germany manager, he's an amazing guy, and also and still a great friend. He said, "Jonas, we need to talk about something." He goes, "The album is not going to be released."
Before the party?
Yeah, the week before. I'm like, I said, but I've invited my whole world to Berlin with... People have booked their flights. We're having an album release party. He goes, "Jonas, the label are closing.
Mm-hmm.
The album is not going to get put out. So should we just cancel the party?" And I said, "What?" I said, "No." I'm like, "I can't do that to people." And he felt so bad. He goes, "I'm so sorry." I'm like, "This is not your fault. I mean, this is music industry, right? And this is the reality of... for so many artists, and it's so heartbreaking because there you have your dream, your baby that you worked on, and suddenly it's going to get shelved." And we spoke earlier today, just when you asked me about defining moments, and I think
mm-hmm.
actually that was one of them as well, thinking about this journey.
Because
mm-hmm. I made a decision
mm-hmm.
that day,
mm-hmm.
and I said to Eric, I said, "Listen, no, just because this album is not going to get promotion or get promoted because the label is closing and everyone is obviously going to leave the building. Everyone left. I mean, you left. You were smart. You left before. You must have had a feeling something was going to happen. But people lost their jobs. Everyone
yes.
lost their jobs. And it was a very heartbreaking time for everybody. So everyone was in shock that this happened because everyone thought that we're going to continue, that we're going to keep
yes.
The office in Cologne. But Universal didn't keep it. They just... close the whole building.
Close everything, yeah.
How many staff was it? Do you remember?
I think it was in Cologne probably about 400 or something.
I mean, there's a lot of people suddenly. And I was one of the priority artists of that year, and the album had... I remember that promo tour we did. I mean, you even came... Did you come for...
Yes. Yeah.
I
the
mean,
radio.
Radio. Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, it was such an incredible thing. And we traveled around all of Germany, and you guys booked me on all the biggest TV shows and radio shows. And suddenly this album was not going to get released.
Mm.
And I was like, after all of that? But then I made a decision. And I said to Eric, "Listen, we are going to celebrate anyway. Because we're going to celebrate the journey.
Mm-hmm.
And we are... it's going to be a bit of a different party than I had imagined. Because what I thought was going to be, you know, a big release now ends up being a funeral in a way.
Mm-hmm. Instead of a start, it was kind of an end.
An end.
Yeah.
But I thought, well, if this is the end, well, then something new has to begin.
Mm-hmm.
And little did I know that end was going to take me to America.
Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, I didn't in that moment think that. I was completely shocked to not... suddenly, I'm like, what do I do now? I'm like, do I go back to Sweden? Do I move back to London? Do I re-sign with a new label and make a whole new album in Germany? I'm like, I have no idea. But I knew that I had to finish well. And I really believe in that too.
Mm-hmm.
If you If you start something, you finish it well.
Mm-hmm.
And you finish it with
dignity.
Dignity.
Right? Yeah.
And that was my last showcase I had in Germany. And I remember I tell Sarah at the management, I said, listen, can we get roses? Give me 14 roses. Help me before the event. She goes, why? I said, it doesn't matter. And I don't know if you remember, but I gave a rose to all the staff, all the head of the companies, of the EMI. And I held, because I wanted to honor them and say thank you. And people in the crowd at this album release party had no idea that this album was going to...
I didn't know. It was a good party.
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean,
people
Natasha Bedingfield came, and we head of MTV, and it was all these tastemakers and influencers, and but no one, I knew, and the staff knew that this was the end of the campaign, end of the project. And I remember I wanted to go in the opposite spirit.
Mm-hmm.
When I could have been the bitter, angry artist and blamed all these people, like, well, you led me to this, or nothing happened, or after everything. I thought, no, I'm going to do the opposite thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say thank you. And I'm going to say the best is yet to come for you. And I think that's, you know, why a lot of the people from that season of my life are still in my world.
Mm-hmm.
And like Uli says, that was one of the most special moments. He told me that night, because he'd never seen an artist give a rose to the label that's about to
kill his album
and kill the artist. And I said, I just was grateful. And I think that is something that maybe that was part of me not feeling, because I know a lot of artists that just go, okay, they take the punches so hard that they just give up.
Mm.
And but I knew there was something more. I knew that, well, okay, if I just keep my heart soft and keep my heart sweet, this is the beginning. And not too long ago after, I get an email, and it was from Evan Lamberg, who is the president of Universal Music Publishing,
mm-hmm.
here in North America.
How did he know about you?
I had known him a few years before the whole Germany campaign kicked off, and before the Germany kind of music thing. He had met me through my friend Brooke Morrow at BMI,
mm-hmm.
who introduced us.
Mm-hmm.
And he stayed in touch. And he told me, I'd like to talk to you and meet with you. So I was out in America for the Grammys that year. This is before 10,000 Reasons. And we met for breakfast. I remember that we met for breakfast at in Santa Monica at Shatters Hotel. And I hadn't seen him for a while, but he goes, Jonas, I really think you should move to America. He goes, and I want to sign you.
Whoa.
And he goes, I've listened to your album. You're amazing. I believe in you. Because I had sent him those songs. And he goes, I play them in my office in the morning, early morning, when I come into the office. And he goes, I love your music. And I believe in you. And I said, wow, okay. And kind of left at breakfast, like, what does this mean? Should I just, after everything I built up in Germany now with this fan base and all these amazing things that we did that year, or those 2 years actually, should I just leave this now? And that was a scary thing. But I felt yes, and I did it. And I said yes, I signed the deal, and it changed my life.
Yes. So now you won a Grammy, you work with some of the most successful, famous artists in the world. You're going to release your own album,
yeah.
which I'm sure will have a far different journey than the last one.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a house which is made by an artist.
Yeah.
It is like this. And
thank
you did
you.
Everything yourself. You created it. So since then until now, did you ever have doubts that you're an artist, or was that always for you, like, given thing? Did you have absolute clarity about it?
It's a good question. I think I always knew I was an artist, but I would have doubt in myself as an artist. So I knew I was an artist, but I would doubt my art, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like I would sometimes go like, was this song any good? Is anybody gonna like this song?
The impact of the art, you doubted the impact.
Yeah. I would pour my heart into something, and I would be like, is this something that is just that I love, or are people gonna connect with this, or are they not? Like I would doubt that. But I never doubted. I always knew this was my path somehow. And I think that's why I didn't change and why I didn't go bitter.
Mm-hmm.
I chose I'm going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
And I let all these letdowns that happened on this journey, I just chose I'm going to let this be like fire that's going to refine the gold. That's going to make me, you know, like... Gold has to go through fire, right? To mm-hmm. become, to go, to get purified. And I think it's a lovely analogy of life that we can let letdowns and hardships and the tough things actually become the making of us. Mm-hmm. To let it become what actually makes us gold, what makes us shine, what makes us pure. But then we have to be willing to go through it and say yes and not... And that never ends, right? Life is like that. It's always, there's always new things and new challenges. And I look back on that Germany time and I feel so grateful now for it. I go like, wow, I wouldn't change anything. It was all part of it.
In hindsight, it was exactly what you needed, probably.
It really was.
Yeah.
And it's amazing because it's like, it's full circle. Like I was, I've been working with Patricia Kelly. She was out here from the Kelly family. Who, you know, I would, you know, play at the arenas in Germany and remember, you know, just being this one of the biggest acts in Germany, and Helena Fischer too. They're all recording my songs now.
Wow. Helena Fischer too, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's incredible. I'm like, I'm little did I know back then that it was all gonna be part of a full circle story.
Yes. And obviously, if you start to do music and you want to have it as a career, the next thing which comes into your life is business.
Yeah.
Business stopped your album then?
It did, yeah.
And if you work on the level where you are today,
mm-hmm.
you have to take care of your business as well. And what was your journey into business? Because you are a pure artist from a personality, so
yeah.
You didn't go out to be a businessman, I think, probably.
No, not really.
Yeah, but you have to be. And I had to learn. Yeah.
I think it's been a long journey, and I think I'm still on that journey
mm-hmm.
of learning what I think is really about entrustment. And being an artist is about also you're entrusted with something. You're entrusted with a gift. You're entrusted with a platform. You're entrusted with currency. You're entrusted with credibility, or you're entrusted with fame, or all these things. And you have a choice to go, what am I going to do with this? And I think that is really the art of business, is what do you do with what you've been given?
Mm.
And how can you build something? How can you use your platform for good? How can you be a good steward of what you've been given? And I think it can be hard for artists because we don't really think about the business part of what we do so much. And I didn't. I remember when I signed my publishing deal, suddenly I got this, you know, this big check of cash. And I was like, I don't know what to do with this. So I just pretended it didn't exist. And a friend of mine said, Jonas, no. You have to use this
mm.
and you have to literally buy a house in LA.
Mm.
And I said, what? I don't need a house. I'm a single guy. I have no kids. I don't need I'm happy to see my parents are missionaries. I can sleep in a tiny little apartment.
Mm.
on the floor, and I'm actually happy. And it's true, I'm so content. But she gave me one of the best advices, and she goes, Jonas, like, trust me for your future and for LA, like having a space and having a sanctuary in LA and a place for you that you can create your art. She goes, it's going to change everything. And also it's going to be great for your business because you're investing in your future.
Mm-hmm.
And if you start spending this advance, it's going to disappear. So just take that check, get a mortgage, buy a house, trust me. And I took her advice. And
see how it looks today.
Yeah, and here we are.
It's a castle.
And it's kind of crazy because I think that was such a... It was very foreign to me as an artist to have to think. But now I realize this was such a... It was such great business advice. To invest not only in... financially, but also investing in your art.
Mm-hmm.
In yourself. In your world. Because what happened was this place... I named this house Atlas House because when I bought it, I felt like, oh my goodness, this is going to be a place that's going to create art that's going to touch the world. I really felt it in my heart before anything when I walked into this, and I felt like, that's why I'm going to name it Atlas.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened. This house is the songs that come out of this house through all the different artists that have been here recording and writing have literally gone to the ends of the world. And it's a place where of healing too for artists. It's a place of rest for me. It's a place of silence when it needs to be. It's a place of party when it needs to be. It's a place of celebration when it needs to be. It's a place of stillness and peace when it has to be. And I think I never... As an artist, I never really understood the power of that because I never grew up. I grew up more as a struggling artist.
Mm-hmm.
So I never really understood. Because people don't really teach you that,
no.
You know.
No. You don't want to teach something.
Like this. Yeah.
So people will never experience this, will never know this.
No. And you never really know that what's possible. And you don't really know that actually, like, wow, getting a mortgage means that you pay less rent.
Mm-hmm.
And my house is, I think, doubles in the body. So I'm
a
on
fantastic
that
business decision.
Yeah. So I'm learning, I think, the art of business.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still on the journey to realize, like, what is, like, to value yourself and value your time and value your gift. I think that is, as an artist, that's can be really hard because we love what we do so much, and we love art, and we love music, and we love, you know, whatever it is, whatever art it is. It's the core soul of the artist is that it's your survival, right? It's your what you do to stay alive.
Mm-hmm.
So to then make business decisions on what keeps you alive is really hard.
Because
mm-hmm. I would do this regardless if I was winning Grammys or was just playing in a small little bar in Sweden, I would still do music. It doesn't matter where
I am,
you know.
And so if you're already so happy, it's sometimes maybe hard to negotiate. Or
exactly.
Do you negotiate?
I've had to learn.
Yes.
And
so for example, when you sign a new deal, now you negotiate?
Yeah.
Yes.
I've had to learn, and that was really tough. I find it really hard to value my work. And my worth.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like it was almost a dirty thing to say, oh, okay, can I invoice you for my background vocals? I was like, no, I can't say that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would often have other people do it. And then I was like, actually, no, I need to take ownership of my life. I can't hide behind someone else. For someone else to be... Because I think in music industry, it's often like that you have a manager who's the bad guy.
Yes.
It does all, you know, so you can be the artist and be the good guy. But I felt that is not a very authentic life because it doesn't make you grow. It keeps you like a baby.
Mm-hmm. Did you learn this in America?
I had to learn it here. The reason why I had to learn it was because I didn't have a manager when I moved here. So I was doing my own. I had an amazing lawyer, but I had to deal with a lot of these negotiations myself. when it came to production fees for artists I was working with or producing, or song splits can be really tough, you know, to sometimes, you know, when there's lots of people in a room and it can get messy. But
who gets 20%, who gets
15%? Exactly. And a lot of artists will just hide away from that, because they would be like, they might write a whole song and someone just sits silent in the room, and they'd be like, yeah, well, they're in the room. And I had a friend of mine, and he said, Jonas, these things are really, he actually really helped me. And he said, these are things that are part of being an adult, is that you can talk about stuff. And he kind of took away the drama of negotiating, this fear of like, oh, money and art don't work together.
Because
mm-hmm. you can sometimes feel like, oh, if I'm going to charge for this, then people are not going to, if I'm going to be a businessman, then I'm not an artist. Mm-hmm. Or if I'm, and it's, that's such a, such a big lie, I think, that we tell ourselves.
I totally agree with you, yes.
Which I think the keeping things in the light is actually just some of the most amazing thing. When you can know that, be upfront with things in business and be upfront with, this is what the deal is going to look like. If you want to join me for this, blah, blah, blah. People actually love that. People love, there's a safety.
Clarity. Yeah.
Clarity, yeah.
Yeah.
Someone that's journey, still learning.
I know. Me too. You can never be great. I think you always have to improve.
Yeah.
And it's so difficult to just say the things the way they are, particularly with people you like sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It's really difficult.
It's and really is.
I think I will never say of myself that I know everything there.
Yeah.
But you have to learn.
Why do you think that is? Why is it hard to, with friendships, why is friendship and business such, can be such a complicated thing?
Yeah, also business and family, for example.
Hmm.
It's a good question. It's sometimes you have to be, you know, of the friends and family, their weaknesses. And sometimes you have to, in business, you have to talk about them as
yeah.
well, you know. For example, you have to tell people, for example, no, you can't do this, or you didn't put so much value in it.
Yeah.
Right? And then it's easy. It's not easy if you
it's not easy if you
like the person, if you know their wounds.
Oof.
And stuff. So it is difficult. And I mean, if you talk about a real estate deal or something, or buying commodities, it's easier. But if you do music and have a song together, maybe, and you had like a fantastic, amazing feeling, and then if this discussion, whoa, it's tough.
Those are the tough ones.
Yes.
Because it's much easier to stay on cloud nine and be like, oh, everything's great, or bubbly, or...
we love each other. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes.
And but then it's like, no, telling that writer, sorry, I love you, but I'm not going to record your song if it's a close friend.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's happened to me a lot of times.
Probably will happen more and more and more, right?
Yeah.
You don't have 48 hours per day.
Yeah. And it's a really tough thing, even with friends that are amazing that I believe in, but just time-wise, you can only give so much. So yeah. I can't help to write for everybody. And it's a really good test of friendship, and also learning boundaries. And, you know, instead of sometimes before, the old me would just disappear and not deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm learning is that honesty is a really beautiful thing, and transparency of saying, I would love to work with you, but right now I don't have the capacity or time, but let's revisit, just to not be as fearful.
Mm-hmm.
If people choose to be hurt, they will be hurt, but that's not your issue in life. You have to, if you do things from a pure heart, you have to trust that the person that gets the message, whatever it is, in whatever business decision it is, that they will know the intention of your heart. And if they are a friend, they will understand.
Mm-hmm.
But if they have and I've had people that have been so offended that they have, you know, they've gotten angry or said, Jonas, blah, blah, blah. And I realized, oh, it's because there was an agenda there.
Mm-hmm.
But a real friend, a good friend.
Wouldn't do that.
No.
No, would understand. I agree. If you would look at yourself maybe, or somebody today who's maybe 20 years old and
mm-hmm.
talented and would like to do, to make music or art their profession, what would you tell yourself 20-year-old self or somebody who's young today, what would you give as an advice?
That's a good question. So much, I think. I think I would say, don't ask for permission. Just go and make your art. Don't wait for a record deal. Don't wait for that big investor to come in and endorse it. Don't wait for that article to happen or for the marriage to happen or the partnership to happen before you're happy or before you think the dream starts. Let the dream start now.
The dream is just by creating and releasing.
Yes. And being you. Being the artist that you are. Don't wait for that endorsement by someone to give you approval to say, now you are, because you got the big deal. Now you're a businessman. No, if you are a businessman in your heart, you're a businessman. If you are a singer at heart, you're a singer. You don't need to win The Voice to be like, oh, now I'm a singer because I won. It's like, no, it's like you're a parent because you're a parent, right? You didn't win best award, parent award. It doesn't validate you. Like, you're a parent because you're a parent. And I think you're an artist because you're an artist. And I think that is something I would try to encourage my 20-year-old self with, because I think I was looking for I didn't have the faith in me to maybe dream as big as I should have, because I was waiting for a lot of thinking I need to have the big record deal or the big management, or I can't release music on my own because then I'm going to look desperate, or like, oh, he's just out there trying to be an artist. Yeah. So I was, I had to do that journey. And now I'm a very different person who realized that an artist who, what really helped me actually was my friends in, it does fine art in like paintings. Because when they are done with their, whatever they're working on, let's say their collection or their work of the season, they do an exhibition, right? So they put up their work in a gallery. And what I loved about that, and what I want to say with my artist friends who do fine art, is that it's not about selling. That's not the goal. The goal is sharing the work.
Showing the work.
Yeah. Letting the world in on their journey. Sharing, and if it sells, and it's amazing, but the art doesn't lose value if it sells or not sell. Sometimes it's just seen, oh wow, well, it's almost seen as a cool thing sometimes as well. It's like, wow, this art is so expensive, so it's like, it's so valuable. It will stay here in this gallery. And
that's a nice way to look at it.
Yeah, and I think as musicians, and we're in the music industry, we get really afraid of just sharing our art, which is the goal, I think.
I think maybe the streaming streaming, so it's accessible and it's there for a long time. It's not getting out of the shops anymore or something. So maybe it changed a little bit.
I think so. Yeah. And that's why as artists, we have to know that we can put up our music and it doesn't have to be perfect. Because back in the day, it was like, you have to have these 10 songs and this has to be perfect before you release it. But I think the new generation of kids are very carefree. They just put stuff up. And I think it's wonderful because it's allowing, I have one friend who has never done music, but she did this song with a friend and they put it up and became a big, like, viral Spotify hit.
Whoa.
And I'm like, this is incredible because this is someone who's not even ever done music, but it's obviously super creative, and it has a gift, but never, in her wildest dreams thought that she was going to do music because she's in a different profession. But she put up this thing and it took off.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so interesting in life sometimes, right? You just have to be fearless. But you have to let it out. You can't keep it in your laptop. You have to put it out.
Pull the trigger.
Yeah.
Do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, we could do this for another hour, I think.
Yeah.
Next time, maybe we do part two.
Yes, in LA. We'll do part two.
Maybe
this
next year
good,
or something.
Yeah, I know.
Or when you're in Spain, where I live now.
Yes.
Yes.
I need to come and see you guys.
Yeah, Marbella. It's nice. It's a little bit like LA.
It is.
Yeah.
I love South Spain. It sounds amazing.
Yes, but it was already great to have you here.
Oh, thank you.
I really want to acknowledge you for your, I don't know, you didn't change. You had a big heart when you were new. You still have a big heart now. You still have a lot of friends you had then. And you did an unbelievable, very inspirational journey. And it's great to follow you on that.
Thank you, Jan, so much. Same to you. I'm so excited about this and what you're building, and I feel the best is truly yet to come for you too, my friend.
Thank you. For the end, I would like to ask you, you reached a lot. What are your big dreams now?
There's so many dreams. Goodness. I think one dream as a kid, right, you always have is like you want to make your parents proud.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is something that still to this day really just love, you know. And my parents are funny because they're not really that impressed by the work I do. Like, I actually worked with, you know, their favorite singer, Barbara Streisand.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote her new album.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing to be part of that journey. And I remember my mom and dad, this is crazy, I'm working with Barbara Streisand. Are you so proud of me? They're like, yeah, we are, but we're more proud of you because of who you are. You know, they really, that's something so lovely about my family is that they very much remind me of what success, true success is. And it's not Grammys or awards or famous artists, although that's wonderful, but it's about making an impact and touching people through music and through the art. And that is something that I still dream about. I really want to make a difference. I think I want to inspire. I think the world right now is a crazy time for the world. There's a lot of division. America right now is getting very divided.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of craziness happening in the world. But music is one of those things that somehow has an ability to unite. It has an ability to heal. It has an ability to bring change. It has the ability, like the story I told you this morning, to save a life.
Mm.
And I think if you can save one life and change one life, you can change the world. And it starts there. And that is probably, I think for next year for me, that's my dream, is to really be brave and share this new album and share these new songs. It's almost 5 years ago since my last album, and I'm so excited about it, to be the artist again.
Yes.
You know, like, not just the artist in the house, but you know, like, or the artist as a songwriter, but the artist as the poet, as the
performer.
Singer, as the performer, as as a touring artist, as these, you know, it's a scary thing, and it's a very vulnerable thing to be, because you put yourself out there and you get
out
suddenly,
of the comfort zone.
Yeah, and you get so open for like a lot of critique too.
Yes.
And suddenly people can also have opinions and attack you and say, oh, I don't know. And I think that is what I'm dreaming about now, is like to do it this round and to really be 100% me and be 100% fearless. And just share this art with the world. And if it travels and goes to number one, or if it doesn't, that doesn't matter. That's not the goal. The goal is to change your life. So that's the dream.
Beautiful. Thank you, Jonas. It was amazing to have you as a guest.
Thank you, Jan, so much.
Thank you. So, this was the show. If you like this episode and you would like to book a 15-minute call with me, you can go on my website, janmehlhose.com. Just book your 15-minute coaching call. I will listen to your case and give you my advice. Thank you. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Jonas. Bye-bye.